Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I'm just your typical Spike. On the line with me, no V-neck today.
Sadly.
But we'll say we're both working kind of a weekend scruff, a 5 o'clock shadow, right? We've got our cups of coffee. It's a casual vibe this morning.
Indeed.
Cameron, how are you doing right now?
You know, I'm good. You know, I just finished up a modern league this morning and was like on full on tilt at about 8:30 in the morning. It's a great way to start a Sunday morning. Really great way.
I just picture at like you lost the match, then you went to the shower and just turned it on ice cold. So I don't know if you heard, but Constructive Criticism, they actually did a segment at the end of their show where they rebutted our after things go poorly, you should treat yourself.
Oh, okay.
They were more of the you should punish yourself afterwards.
Okay.
You know, hey, and that's a school of thought, you know. But Cameron, I'd like to think that you are going to relax the rest of the day.
Yes.
And maybe don't play a modern league. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. We're not going to touch modern for a good 2 weeks, I think. But anyway, I did play modern, and I played good old Jeskai Control with Teferi, and went 1-4. And here's what this is my record: 1-4, lost against Tron, played against another Tron player, lost against that, played against Storm, lost against that. Played against an Infect player, won that because I don't feel like the Infect... There was some serious misplays on the Infect player's part, which led to me winning, and then lost this morning against another Tron deck. So Tron, I don't know... I don't think it's the best deck in Modern, but it's so unfun to play against, especially if you're playing the Control matchup. And if you want those games to go longer than 5 turns, there's just no way for you to gain the advantage the way that you can against like humans or like some of these other creature based decks, right? And they're just so resilient. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I played the new Dampening Sphere. I don't know if it's new anymore, but
yeah,
you know, and I had two of those out, and they're able to naturalize both of them and then just, you know, empty their hand with Ulamogs. And it doesn't matter if, like, on turn 4, I have mana up for Cryptic Command, I Cryptic Command their Ulamog, it still exiles two of my permanents, which they're going to exile my lands, and then on the next turn, cast another Ulamog, and I have literally no lands on the board, and, like, this is fun. This is just so much fun. I'm sorry. I'm venting right now. It's fine.
Let the hate flow through you, Cameron. It's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah. So anyway, this is, I think, the biggest issue is, like, I don't know if, like, the algorithm for how I sign up for league matches works, towards my disadvantage. But, like, 3 Tron matches in a friendly league? Like, come on. Where's the variety? I feel like I play so much against Tron so much that the variety of modern decks that exist, I just feel like I don't see them. And it seems to be getting fewer and further between as far as, like, having interesting matchups. So, yeah, there's that.
Could we explore just for a second? And I'm not saying you should do this. In fact, I think it would be a bad idea. But maybe you would see more variety in a competitive league versus a casual league.
It's true.
I mean, that's feasible, right?
Yeah.
But there is also the problem that online, Tron lands, like, are really cheap. You could also build, like, so let's say you want to build Jeskai or Jund or one of the more expensive decks. Those decks cannot function without the fetch lands, right? But with Tron, you could buy all the Tron lands and then slowly accumulate. You could play a Karn and then some other big, beefy Eldrazi that are less expensive to get you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think by virtue of that, Tron floats around a lot. If you look at the metagame analysis, Tron is always one of the top 5 decks. Cameron, I'd say you ran pretty ice cold.
Yeah, I did. And I've always had trouble against that deck, and it's resilient or whatever. I do want to talk about the matchup I had against Infect, and this was the one that I won. And it kind of goes to just some of the misplays that I saw and, like, really, like, questionable, right? So on the battlefield, I can't remember which turn it is, but he has a Blighted Agent on the field, an Ink Moth Nexus, and a Noble Hierarch, and, like, five cards in hand. I have a Lightning Bolt, and on my turn, I choose to bolt his Blighted Agent, and then in hopes of, like, dealing with whatever Infect creature I could with, like, maybe a Path or something later down the road.
And you had no knowledge of his hand, right? You just
No knowledge of his hand. He, in turn, casts the Delve spell that gives it 5/5.
Become immense.
Become immense. And then, for no reason whatsoever, it does the one that gives it, like, +2/+2 and hexproof until end of turn. This is on my turn. So the Infect player, who clearly could have won the next turn, didn't, because he wanted to protect his Blighted Agent on...
A lot?
Yeah. A lot. And it was just the strangest thing, and, like, it would have, I mean, I would have had 10 Infect super, super dead on board. And he should have known that just based off, like, the board state. There's no way for me to actually win. But because of that, it was like this huge misplay. And it's like, oh, okay, here we go. And then I was able to path his Blighted Agent because there was nothing. I mean, and then I just accepted one Infect damage. I don't understand what he was doing trying to protect that. It was a severe misplay.
Here's probably what was happening is he was there at Magic Online, and then his girlfriend was yelling at him saying, it's time to go, we're going to be late, or something like that. And then he thought it was his turn, fired off all those spells, and then forgot that it was...
Very well could have, yeah. Yeah. So that stuff happens. I mean, I know there's, like, misplays, but it was just definitely, like, that was clearly... A big mistake, right? So,
well,
whatever.
What the listeners don't know is that we have a pre-show, and the pre-show is us just talking about the absolute horrid misplays that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you and I are not good players.
True.
But but we are about sweeping generalizations. And, I mean, because you and I play Modern so much, and we just see these misplays, like, there's a lot of me going, dude, check out what happened last night, what my opponent did, or you saying, you know. And a lot of those criticisms are aimed at that format, and I think the linear nature of the format engenders that style of play.
Yeah.
Where people, because it's not interactive often.
Yeah, yeah. And the issue is like, that Infect player, he could have just ripped one spell after, like, just a horrid, wretched misplay and still could have won very, very easily, with very little skill. And that's where I think where my, like, the mistakes that you do in Modern, we've talked about this, just don't punish you the way that, like, misplaying your Brainstorm, like, in Legacy can, like, ruin your game, like, just based off of, like, one minor misplay. And I feel like major misplays still reward bad plays. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And, also, the nature of where the formats are at, because Modern is so popular and so written about and all that, you can literally be asleep at the wheel and just find the deck. And, hey, look, I'm no stranger to looking up a deck online and using it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not. But you also have to put in the reps. And that is where things aren't happening. Whereas Legacy, things are so much less defined. And I'm going through this because I'm building Legacy Miracles. Tuning that deck is ridiculously difficult because it's not nearly a set. Whereas I feel like Grixis Death Shadow, everybody agrees within about three cards of what that 75 should look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with virtually any Legacy deck right now. But yeah, I also play Modern. We'll just say I had slightly more success. So I went, I guess I went 5-1. Again, playing Grixis Death Shadow, I managed to beat Burn. Because they didn't draw burn spells. They ended up drawing a bunch of Eidolons, and I had a giant Death Shadow on the field. And so just put a ton of pressure on their life total. But what else did I play against? I played against Storm. I lost against Humans, which continues to be kind of a rocky matchup for me. And then I beat Hollow One, which is kind of another deck that I tend to run into a lot. But what I want to talk about here, Cameron, is, okay, because the listening audience knows I'm burnt out on Modern. I've been playing it. I'm actually transitioning to Standard. I'm going to play Steel Leaf Green. I'm like six cards away. I traded into a bunch of it / spent my prize money on it last night. And I've forgotten how easy it is to trade into Standard cards compared to Modern and Legacy / Old School.
Sure.
Like, it is like, hey, is this Blooming Marsh for trade? People are like, yeah, I'll just find something in your trade line. Like, they just do not care. And, like, Heart of Kieran is a hilarious example. You know that card's worth, like, $1.50, $2 now?
Yeah, it's super cheap, right?
So. It's super cheap. And, people are just like, yeah, just take one. You know, like, which is just, even if it is a cheap Modern staple, you're just not going to get that. Nobody's going to say, like, hey, yeah, fine, this mana leak or whatever. But let's talk about how we can address this thing with you and Modern.
Okay.
Because, Cameron, I felt your frustration when we popped on. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
And it sounded like you should have gone 05.
Oh, right? Yeah, I really should have.
Providence stepped in and intervened on your behalf. So let's just sit down and say this. Cameron, it's time to play a new deck.
Yes, it is. It is.
And I don't care what it is. Collected Company Spirits is making a comeback. There's all kinds of strange things. But I just think you need to find a new hotness, a new freshness, something the next time you play Modern. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if it's Merfolk, Cameron.
Fairies.
Okay, let's not control.
Yeah.
Not control.
I think that's
play Dredge. I don't care. Something.
Mm-hmm.
But you just need to... it would be one thing if you were burnout and you win 3-2 in this league, but I feel like control is just not where you want to be.
No, for me especially. Like, I think I'm dirtling too much.
Yeah, and I'm interested in this because I get a lot of interactions with people. They're like, and if you look at the metagame analysis, Jeskai Control is still a top 5 deck. Every time I see it, I think it looks terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it probably has the best sideboard in the format, but both that and Jund, I feel like people are kind of holding on to unnecessarily. It's like they've got the cards, they've been playing it for a while. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get some feedback from people that say, no, you know, I have this great win percentage with Jeskai, but like when I see it play against a number of the prominent decks in the format, it just looks bad. I think the thing that's saving Jeskai is the fact that it's pretty good against Humans. Not great, but pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And that matchup is kind of saving it in the metagame analysis. That would be my guess. But when you see people cast a turn two search for his content and stuff, it just looks.
I know. Like, what are you doing? Right. So.
And then you play. I mean, I watched this exchange. This is two really good players in my shop. Okay. One was on Hollow One and one was on Jeskai Control with Terminus. They're in the elimination rounds, and the Hollow One player had some number of like blood gas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Control player goes Terminus, right? And control player's a two. Terminus puts them all on the board. Hollow One player top decks a Hazoret. That gets pathed, and then the Hollow One the next turn. Flamewake Phoenix kill you. I mean, they had the best set of answers for those cards, and it did not matter. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see that happen with control all the time. All right.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, I want to just also get your feedback on this this mono green Stompy deck. So, have you gotten a chance? You just played it through one league, right?
With M19, yes, I've only played it through one league. I was playing it beforehand, you know, without like the really good 2-drop and the horse that you really need. But
Vinemare,
yeah. I love the deck, man. I'm like super stoked that you're playing it in paper.
So I just want to ask you, just really quickly, what was your vehicle package like? Did you main deck any Aethersphere Harvesters, and did you play any Planeswalkers main deck? Because those are the things that I'm seeing move around a lot.
So I want to say I had the Aethersphere Harvester in the side.
Okay.
And then I had, like, I think it was, I just, like, net decked whatever, right, and just collected the cards and then traded them away or whatever, the way I do it with mana traders. Or, yeah. But anyway, so Heart of Kieran, I think, was the other thing. Maybe two of Heart of Kieran.
Okay.
And Heart of Kieran is super good. It's great. It feels like it fits really well into that package.
I assume you played Scrap Heap Scrounger in the deck as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like, I think that was like an automatic four of.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm really interested to play it. I actually don't have the cards in Arena. Like, I don't have enough wild cards to switch from.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I have had to kind of just, you know, play it on my desktop and Goldfish or whatever. But it seems like a ton of fun. I got my 4th edition Llanowar Elves, and I've got my 4th edition Forest. So, like, what else could you ask for, right? All right, Cameron, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, talk Mystery Box, and just really quickly talk about where the Legacy metagame is at. We'll be right back. This week, we'd like to thank a few of our patrons, Yuri Chiburiak, Justin Hockney, and Adam Payne. Thank you guys so much for continuing to support the show. If you'd like to become a patron, go to spikefeed.com and click on the donate button. All right, Cameron. So, Mystery Box check-in. 128 reserve list cards. When I started, it was $221.93. $221.93. Now it has gone up to $272.92, a 22.98% gain. We're basically up $50 in around a month's time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to keep this train rolling. Now, maybe when we hit 500 episodes, I should just give the Mystery Box away to, like, our patrons, like, just divvy it up and send it out or something
there
like that.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. You decide. I have no say in the matter.
I mean, they're gonna be like pretty upset when it's like a you know, MP wall of kelp, and they're like, "What the heck?" But anyway, I'm kidding. I'm sure the reserve list hopefully would be gone away with at that point.
Sure.
I do have. I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but they were talking about. Their thoughts, maybe it was quiet speculation, but one of the hosts, I can't attribute this, forgive me, but they had an interesting theory. I completely disagree with it, but they were saying if the dual lands were taken off the reserve list, still no one would care about Legacy. And I think that would cause Legacy to just shoot through the roof. Like, I think you would start to see it a lot more often.
Yeah. I mean, Force of Wills alone would just jump up to like $300 overnight, I think.
yeah, but I mean, I think that would be a huge boon for the format. Now, I mean, we might be so far gone that people are invested in Modern and all this. But, you know, this is also the looming question because there's this theory about Legendary dual lands. Mm-hmm. And at what point would that happen and what, you know, how much would that help the format? I mean, I think it would help it a lot. I don't know that it would change much. But, hey, I do want to... Oh, first of all, would you like to have the legendary lands printed, Cameron? The legendary duels? So like Tundra, but it's legendary.
I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, it'd be cool, you know, but we'll see.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get Steam Vents and Hallowed Fountain and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So just really quickly touching base, Cardsphere versus Puka Trade. Been using both services. I kind of wanted to just let people know my honest, you know, thoughts. And the gap between these two is kind of widening. I got to be honest with you. So Cardsphere, I've had a ton of movement, a ton of trade velocity. I've moved a ton of stuff. A lot of stuff's come in. And expensive stuff. Like, you know, I have a Jace the Mind Sculptor coming.
Nice.
And so this is just stuff that did not happen to me before on Puka Trade. And my balance continues to just, as soon as I complete trades and get them confirmed. My bounce continues to go down. And I have people message me about harder to find cards, and I just feel like it's a better community for that kind of thing. Again, it's kind of harder to send stuff off. Like, if you have bulk, you're just not going to move it on CardSphere.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more people that tend to be kind of dealers. But Puka Trade's kind of a different tale. I think I have traded, you know, I've sent about $80 worth of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Several of which I don't know if the users are still active because they just haven't been confirmed. Like, I have multiple cards that have not been confirmed as received, even though I sent them, you know, 7-8 days ago or whatever. I had a wants list that was super huge. I ended up paring it down. I had, at one point, every rare from Visions and Weatherlight on there. Every uncommon from Visions. I mean, on and on and on. How many cards do you think got sent to me, Cameron?
I have no idea.
The answer is one. I've received okay. one card from Puka Trade so far. And I've tried to promote trades and all this. But so a promotion is this. You say, okay, I'm trying to think of an example. So Thorn Lieutenant. Let's say it's worth 200 Puka points. You can say, hey, guys, I want to promote this. I want to put it to where it's 250 points. So then you rock it to the top of the list. When you do that, you have to pay a certain percentage fee in Puka points. So I might have to pay 2.5 Puka points to promote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is theoretically their way of dealing with inflation because you're paying to promote it, right? The problem is with a desired card like Thorn Lieutenant, or really anything, is as soon as you promote it, I would go back the next day and 30 people had promoted to the exact same level that I had.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then I was thinking about, well, maybe I should just trade this for Magic Online stuff or Magic Online ticks. Right now, a Puka point is worth 1/3 of an MTGO tick.
Ugh.
So.
This just seems way too much trouble. More trouble than it's worth in some ways. I could be wrong. I just, like, I kind of want to just, like, unload and forget about it and not have to play, like, this constant game where... Seems like that time should be, for me, I'd rather be spending on like building a deck or playing a deck or something like that, you know? So it's like its own game, and I just don't even want to take part in that.
You're totally not wrong. I mean, you can't see the webcam here. I'm going to move the webcam, Cameron. But if you can see these boxes.
Ugh, yeah.
I'm sorting through boxes. I'm probably going to send 40 things today and or get them, you know, stamped and all that. And the overwhelming majority is going to go through CardSphere because mm-hmm. I've gotten really good stuff that way.
Yeah.
And I can withdraw. So like all the money that I make, I can just say, nope, I'm going to take it out and I'm going to go buy some silly electronic item that I tend to do. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's where we're at. If I'm likely doing Puka Trade wrong, please shoot me some advice if you have some. Unless it's good God, Curtis, get out, because I've already gotten that a bunch. Anyway, but on the flip side, I've gotten a bunch of messages and stuff, and one of my friends actually started to use CardSphere, and he is so happy. So anyway, let's just really quickly, Cameron, sounds like you might be playing Legacy later today?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I just want to do a Legacy metagame check-in. So we're a couple weeks off of Deathrite Shaman. Next week is the Team Pro Tour, in which Legacy will be played on the Pro Tour stage for the first time ever. And so the question is, are we happy?
Mm. Such a relative term. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome when Legacy is on like a big stage like this and people get to see it. And maybe somebody who is like a diehard modern player has never had any interest in Legacy might see it and say, you know what? This seems like the format for me. I mean, like any promotion for the game is great. I mean, I would love it if like, yeah, I mean, ideally Star City would just start playing Legacy on Sunday again and like it would just make my day go by so great, you know? But mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think of the metagame though, Cameron? Like where are you at on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like it feels like the metagame feels pretty good right now. I don't feel like anything's like fully solved. Miracles is like legitimately still like a great deck. I think it's because there is a one mana wrath that you can very easily cast. But you know, like, I don't know, like, it's crazy to see like Rug Delver come back. And I'm happy about that. You know, Death and Taxes, I think that's like a really easy approachable deck that you can get into. I don't know, if you were to just look at like the top 8, top 10 decks that are performing well, like on MTG Goldfish, it seems pretty good. Like, I nothing is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is like, it's like a brand new metagame or anything like that, but it's definitely seems like a well-rounded metagame, and I'm happy with where everything is at right now.
Yeah, there's a lot kind of going on with it. I do think that, again, there's a certain level of people just kind of defaulting to the decks that were good before, and I think there there needs to be a little bit of tuning. Like, when you look at the top, the metagame analysis on Goldfish, like, who knows how accurate that is, because, you know, the legacy scene on MTGO is so, you know, small. But, for example, there's no combo elves, like, in the top whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, unthinkable to me that combo elves isn't, like, one of the best decks. Right now, like, Rug, and I've kind of gone on this, and it's, I know I'm probably looking at it through a small sample size filter. I'll totally admit that. But I've seen Rug Delver play against Grixis I don't know how many times. And the Rug version just looks a lot worse. Like, I don't know what the green is gaining you. Ancient Grudge? Like, there's no world in which I think that Nimble Mongoose is better than Gurmag Angler. Right? Channel Fireball, I think Andrea Mangucci, he played a Grixis Delver deck through a league, and he was blown away about how good Bomat Courier is in the deck.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, one of the best things about Bomat Courier that nobody talks about is you can cast it off a Wasteland.
That's true. That's awesome. You know? Yeah.
And so it just makes it, the synergy there, I think, is something we're going to come to. And so I wouldn't be surprised if at the Pro Tour we see a lot of Grixis Delver. I think we'll see Miracles. The one that I'm also shocked that we're not seeing nearly as much of is as Storm. But that might be because it's such a known quantity. And, you know, look, if you don't have some kind of game plan against Storm, you're probably doing it wrong, period.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and it would take somebody like that knows what they're doing when it comes to Storm itself. I think now that Probe is gone, there has a definite, is it ad nauseum or is it Epic Storm? Like, what is the actual preferred version of that deck? Have you seen that there's a mono red Storm?
No.
Yeah, there is a mono red Storm deck in Legacy. And
man. I'm going to have to go check this out. Okay.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. But yeah, so there is some innovation there, but man, I can't wait for next week. I'm actually, like I said, I'm going to go to the convention center for just a little bit to spectate. I don't even know what that looks like at a Pro Tour. And I'll probably just watch the Silver Showcase, but maybe I'll watch a few other matches. But I'm so excited to see what becomes of the format. Even though I'm not as an active player as you are, Cameron, I'm stoked. We're also, or at least I'm also playing in St. Louis in October at a charity event for Legacy, and I couldn't be more excited to just get out there and play it. And probably O2 drop and play my first old school tournament. That's probably what's going to happen.
It's all a win. It's always a win.
It's always a win. Okay, Cameron, we're going to get out of this segment, come back, and talk about some video games. All right, Cameron, so this week, you haven't seen Mission Impossible yet.
No, I haven't. I cannot believe that you beat me to that. Good for you. Good on you.
Well, you know what it is.
Yeah. You know, I did get a chance to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp, which held up. It was a good movie. Like, it's so nice to just have a Marvel movie where the end of the world is not going to happen. You know, it's just a movie about, like, doing stuff as the Ant-Man. And, like, I don't know. Like, I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, actually. It just was, like, refreshing just to watch a really stripped-down superhero movie. So there's my recommendation on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
So can I just really briefly pop in with a different like highly medium recommendation.
Yeah.
So I rented the newest Tomb Raider film.
Oh yeah, with the girl from Ex Machina. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what I want to say about that, man. Like, I feel like Rotten Tomatoes isn't the best indicator in that. Oftentimes, the snark level within, you know, film review stuff can be so a downward spiral. Okay, Tomb Raider has like a mid-40s Rotten Tomato meter reading. Mm-hmm. Okay, whereas Mission Impossible has a high 90s. I think Mission Impossible is a better movie. I don't think there's 50 percentage points of difference in those experiences. Do you see what
sure.
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not that any human being is sitting down and indicating those scores. I just think that's indicative. Tomb Raider is a perfectly serviceable action film. That is it, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, and by virtue of that, it is definitely the best video game movie ever made, which I mean, it's a pretty low bar to clear. I'll be the first to admit, but I'm a big
you're forgetting about Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Super Mario Brothers. To be fair, I never saw Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I haven't either, actually. Yeah, yeah.
And I never saw the Silent Hill film,
yeah.
Which supposedly is okay. But I mean, we're talking. It's a pretty decent little action movie. It's a retelling of the reboot of Tomb Raider. What was that, like 7 years ago the one thing I would really give it is the physicality of the actress. Like, it's actually believable that she's doing some of these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's actually a very fit person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, some of these other action stars, like Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not very believable.
Sure.
Right? Not that that's necessarily what they were going for, but it was a pleasant surprise. It was a good, dumb, don't pay for it, you know, pay $2 at Redbox kind of movie.
Cool.
So let's talk about No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Have you downloaded the newest update, Cameron?
It has downloaded. I have not played it yet.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know what you did before No Man's Sky, but you should just completely start over.
Okay.
So I have not engaged in any of the multiplayer, but this, in all intents and purposes, is No Man's Sky 2. It is a complete reworking. So to give you an indication, first of all, the game is in third person by default. So it looks more like Mass Effect.
That's a completely different game.
and all the mineral systems have been reworked. There's like a quest structure and a mission structure that is like very intensely told to you at the beginning of the game. So there's good and bad. I'm a huge apologist for this game because I like experiences that are not just running into a room and shooting guys. That's fine every once in a while, but there are moments in No Man's Sky that I've had that no game has come close to in terms of landing on a planet that is over 90% water,
mm-hmm.
and just discovering it. The first moment where you go underwater and explore and you find a giant fish, yeah, I might have hit 40 other planets and see none of that, right? It's all about kind of that delayed gratification and the wonder of exploring. If you don't enjoy that, then No Man's Sky is definitely not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But this new update, so I got it on Xbox because I wanted to see the enhancements and all that. It's just a really refreshing, chill experience to listen to a podcast and explore the galaxy. It's what I want. Mm-hmm. There are ringed planets. There are clouds. The space combat is notably better. But Cameron, I played my last save for like 40 hours, and I never even got close to having a nice spaceship. They're much more open to getting you what you want and grinding less now.
Okay.
So I go out into space, and this fleet is under attack by space pirates. So I engage into a dogfight, kill all the space pirates. It says, hey, go meet the captain, which it didn't really do before.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll go in. I go in, and the captain goes, you know what? I'm done with this. The freighter is yours. And so now I am commander of a fleet, like Battlestar Galactica, and I can send other ships off to missions and they bring back stuff and they bring back a report of what they've done.
You just sold me on this game. Like, that's like, you just had to say Battlestar Galactica Commander, go.
and that might not happen to you. I don't know. I don't know how rare that experience is. The big problems with it right now are two things. Number one, they're really aggressive about you having a particular kind of fuel that like makes your ship launch, and that's different than your boost fuel.
Okay.
And you have to refill this like way too often. Now, if you play it on, there's a mode where you get all the resources all the time, mm-hmm. and you don't have to deal with that. So, but I kind of like the survival structure mm-hmm. in other ways. It's just that one element. It's really obnoxious. And there are massive performance issues on Xbox. And I've watched the Digital Foundry video where they said it's this way on PS4. Like, frame rate is nightmarishly bad.
Hmm.
And the game was originally like this, and they kind of fixed it up slowly. Like, they update this game a lot. I've heard the multiplayer is really fun, but you and I will never experience that, Cameron, because cross-platform is not a reality.
Sad.
So, yeah, very sad. We can never be our own away team, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Unless I pick up an Xbox and, yeah, which will never happen, but yeah.
I mean, Cameron, you know me. I'm on the campaign that you need a new TV before anything else happens.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I like my TV. It's quaint.
Quite quaint in a quaint sort of quiet way. Yeah. Anyway, so No Man's Sky, look, if you have no interaction with this game before, what I would recommend is, especially if you have a PS4, because you can get on PS4 for like $10.
It's cheap.
The update's free. You know, just go and enjoy it. I wanted to get the Xbox edition and help support these guys and all this. So, but yeah, I've been spending way too much time on it this week. We'll say that. So
awesome.
Cameron, if someone would like to get in touch with you and tell you how to handle your frigate, where would they find you?
Please, Twitter, @Cameron_McCoy.
I am @CurtisNow. Our official show feed is @SpikeFeedMTG. We will check you guys next week.